idea of a yana, or vehicle, comes from the basic notion or image of Buddhism as a raft for crossing a river. This shore is ordinary everyday consciousness, such as we have, mainly the consciousness of being an ego or a sensitive mind locked up inside a mortal body, a consciousness of being you in particular and nobody else. The other shore is release, or nirvana, a word which means literally blow out. As one says, whew, in heaving a sigh of relief. Nirvana is never, never, never to be interpreted as a state of extinction or a kind of consciousness in which you are absorbed into an infinitely formless, luminous ocean which could best be described as purple jello, but luminous, you know, kind of spiritual horrors. It isn't meant to be that at all. Nirvana is has certain many senses, but the primary meaning of it is that it's this everyday life, just as we have it now, but seen and understood and felt in a very, very different way. Buddhism is called in general a dharma, and this word is often mistranslated as the law. It's better translated as the doctrine, and still better translated as the method. And the dharma is formulated originally by the Buddha, who was the son of a North Indian Raja living very close to Nepal, who was thriving shortly after 600 BC. The word Buddha is a title. The proper name of this individual was Gautama Siddhartha. And the word Buddha means the awakened one, from the Sanskrit root budh, B-U-D-H, which means to wake or to know. So we could say Buddha means the man who woke up. And the Buddha was a very, very skillful psychologist. He is, in a way, the first psychotherapist in history. A man of tremendous understanding of the wiles and deviousnesses of the human mind. Buddhism is made to be easily understood. Everything is numbered so that you can remember it. And the basis of Buddhism are what are called the Four Noble Truths. The first one is the truth about suffering. The second, the truth about the cause of suffering. The third, the truth about the ceasing of suffering. And the fourth, the truth about the way to the ceasing of suffering. So let's go back to the beginning. Suffering. The Sanskrit word is dukkha, D-U-H-K-H-A, dukkha. It means suffering in the widest possible sense, but chronic suffering, chronic frustration, is probably as good a translation as any. Chronic frustration. And the Buddhism says the life of mankind and of animals, indeed also of angels, if you believe in angels, is characterized by chronic frustration. And so that constitutes a problem. If any one of you says, I have a problem, I don't suppose you would be here if you didn't in some way have a problem. Well, that's dukkha. Now, the next thing is the cause of it. The cause of it is called Trishna. T-R-I-S-H-N-A. Trishna is a Sanskrit word that is the root of our word thirst. Thirst, but more exactly craving or clutching or desiring. Because of craving or of clutching, in us we create suffering. But in turn, this second truth includes that behind Trishna there lies another thing called ignorance, avidya, A-V-I-D-Y-A, non-vision. You see, vidya, vid in Sanskrit, is the root of the Latin video and of our vision. And ah, in front of the word is non. As we say, atheist is a non-theist. So avidya is not seeing, ignorance, or better, ignorance. Because our mind, as it functions consciously, is a method of attending to different and particular areas of experience, one after another, one at a time. When you focus your consciousness on a particular area, you ignore everything else. That is why to know is at the same time to ignore. And because of that, there arises Trishna or craving. Why? Because if you ignore what you really know, you come to imagine that you are separate from the rest of the universe, and that you are alone. And therefore you begin to crave, to thirst, for you develop an anxiety to survive. Because you think that if you're separate, if you're not the whole works, you're going to die. Actually, you're not going to die at all. You're simply going to stop doing one thing and start doing something else. You know, when you die, in the ordinary way, you just stop doing this thing called Alan Watts. But you do something else. Later. Later man, you know, like that. And you... and it's nothing to worry about at all. Only if you are entirely locked up in the illusion that you're only this, then you begin to be frightened and anxious. And that creates thirst. So if you can get rid of ignorance, and widen your mind out so as to see the other side of the picture, then you can stop craving. That doesn't mean to say you won't enjoy your dinner anymore, and that it won't be nice to make love to girls or anything like that. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that enjoying your dinner and making love and generally enjoying the senses and all the experience, that only becomes an obstacle to you if you cling to that in order to save yourself. But if you don't need to save yourself, you can enjoy life just as much as ever. You don't have to be a Puritan. So then that state of letting go, instead of clinging to everything, supposing you know you're in business and you have to make money and keep a family supported or something like that, you know. The thing is, do that. But don't let it get you down. Do it in what the Hindus call nishkama karma. Nishkama means passionless karma activity. And that means doing all the things that one would do in life, one's business, one's occupation, etc., etc., but doing it without taking it seriously. Do it as a game. And then everybody who depends on you will like it much better. Because if you take it seriously, they'll be feeling guilty, because they'll say, oh dear, Papa absolutely knocks himself out to work for us, you see. And they all get miserable. And they go on, they live their lives out of a sense of duty, which is a dreadful thing to do. So, that's nirvana, you see, to live in a let-go way. Then the fourth noble truth describes the way, the method of realizing nirvana. And that's called the Noble Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path is a series of eight human activities, such as understanding or view, effort, vocation or occupation, speaking, conduct, etc. And they're all prefaced by the Sanskrit word samyak, which is very difficult to translate. Most people translate it right, in the sense of correct. But this is an incomplete translation. The word sam, the root sam in Sanskrit, is the same as our word sum, through the Latin summa. And sum, of course, the sum of things, means completion. But it also has the sense of balanced, or middle-weighed, not W-E-I-G-H, but W-A-Y-E-D, middle-weighed, because Buddhism is called the middle way. And we'll find out a great deal about that later.
Listening to Alan Watts from the Spoken Word Library of the Electronic University. For copies of this and other Alan Watts programs, please go to alanwatts.com on the World Wide Web or call us toll-free at 1-800-WO-WATTS. That's alanwatts.com or 1-800-WO-WATTS. The Watts website features free audio downloads, program lists, and information on Watts' life and works. Once again, that's alanwatts.com or 1-800-WO-WATTS.